Good morning and welcome into Pete's Talk. This is our town. I'm Chris Johnson, your host, and in the studio with me this morning is Mr. Alan Caton. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
Alan's a businessman here in Chilton County, and now business-based here in Clanton, actually, and been in business for quite a while, and been around the area, and in the line of work you're in for a good long time. Caton Acoustic and Drywall. Tell us how it all started.
Well, I started right out of high school. I went to work for a company called Dixie Acoustical out of Birmingham, and stayed with them for almost 22 years, and decided it was just time to venture out on my own. And so my wife and I started Caton Acoustical and Drywall, and we started it actually out of our living room in Jemison. We lived in Jemison, and she did all the paperwork, all the checks, and all the account stuff, and sent it, you know, right there in our front living room. And then we rented a building in Montgomery and moved to Montgomery, where we was at for 33 years. Well, actually was in Montgomery for 30 years, and then the last 2.5 years we've been in Clanton.
Goodness, doesn't seem like it's been that long since you came back to Clanton. But I know you, when you first started out, you were like a lot of small businesses. You started out pretty much hands-on. I know back when my partner and I first opened J&W in its present location, you were just getting started then. Mm-hmm. I think you're kind of doing some stuff on the side, still maybe working with other company and trying to get your feet on the ground. And you actually helped us do our ceiling in our new business then.
That's been a long time ago.
It has. It's been quite a while. That was probably 84 or 5, somewhere in that neighborhood, mm-hmm. I guess. And you piled right in there, and me, you, and Robert, you did it, and we just handed you stuff.
Well, we started our business in 1990.
Was it 90?
Mm-hmm.
That's when you started the yep. official business. So, yes, this was well before you actually got started in that full time then.
That was my side business.
Yeah.
My daughter, Cindy, who is Cindy Gillen now, Cindy showed Palomino horses.
Yeah.
And so I would work 2 weekends a month so she could show horses 2 weekends a month.
I know you sure helped us out, because we got a deal and a good job, because it's still there. So, mm-hmm. been there a while. The acoustic ceiling drywall business is a pretty good business, I guess, because everybody's got drywall, and most of the businesses and offices have acoustic ceilings. And your company's grown to be one of the biggies in the state, I guess, ain't it?
Yes, sir. We have. At one time, we were one of the largest in the state, and you know, the 08 and 09 area kind of hit everybody pretty hard. It hit us hard, and we had to downsize. We relooked at the way we run our business, and actually it was a good thing for us, because I learned how to do big business on a small budget.
And that's an important thing to learn when we go through times like we went through in those years.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's amazing to me. We're talking about, you know, you're one of the big business, one of the big names in the acoustic and drywall business. And what's strange is Chilton County's got a pretty good tie there, because you're one of the big ones, and two of the others are also Chilton County based businesses.
Correct. There's I think there's 5 acoustical ceiling drywall companies located here in our county.
And so at least 3 of them are pretty doggone good size, and,
yes,
and you're one of those. So that's amazing. You know, Chilton County, if you took the workforce that comes out of Chilton County out of the state, there'd be a big hole in the workforce, because there's some talented folks from Chilton County that travel and work all over.
There was a time that I had as many as 50 employees from Chilton County working for me.
Even though, and that's one thing, you know, even though you had your business in Montgomery for many years, you still lived here in Chilton County, and you employed Chilton County people in your business. So you've always believed in trying to keep the money at home to some extent.
And the good thing about all the businesses, all the drywall businesses that's here in the county, we all know each other, we're all friends, and even though it's competition, but we still get along very well.
Well, you got to get out there and be it. If it wasn't for competition, the world would be a different place. Competition's a good thing, as long as you can keep it competition and not war.
If we didn't have competition, we'd make a lot more money.
I don't know all five of your competitors, but I do know two of them quite well, and they're like you. They're folks that on my list of good people there right there that I consider to be good people.
They are. And, they really are.
And I know they are because a couple of them have helped me out in a couple of occasions as well. Had a little project I did on one of our properties not long ago, and you helped me out with some material, and one of your competitors helped me out with a tool to punch some of the grid work, and neither one of you would let me pay you.
Well, three of those companies are located right here in Clanton.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about, and right downtown Clanton, and then two more out across the rest of the county. So Chilton County's. Probably one of the South's best kept secrets, I think, in a lot of areas, and a lot of business. And I know you do jobs from little bitty jobs all the way up to some pretty humongous jobs. I think you were telling me y'all are involved or getting involved in one of the largest you've ever done here coming up soon, right?
Well, we're on it right now. We're working out at Dandafield National Guard Army. They're building some simulators, a building that they're going to house simulators for the new F-35 fighter planes. And we're doing the drywall, interior, exterior walls on those, and acoustical ceilings on them. And then there's a base supply building that goes along with it where they're going to store all the parts for these airplanes. And so we're doing that too. Yeah, it's the largest. Now, I've done a job larger than this one, but it's been several years ago. I did the First Baptist Church in Montgomery, and that was about twice the size of this one. But this is the largest one we've done in several years.
Well, that's good. It's good to know that looks like maybe the economy is coming back and some work's popping back up. I know in my business, other than the radio business, things are... this year have looked a little better, and I'm glad to see things start to turn up a little bit. And I know you are too, because you've got a lot of miles that depend on your business keeping them fed.
Yeah, I have. I'm very fortunate. I have my son-in-law, he's the vice president of our company, and he's I'm actually grooming him to take the company over. One of these days it'll be his, Lake Gillen. And Lake has really he's come along great. I mean, he's doing a good job. He loves his job. He loves doing what he does. And I'm just proud to have somebody like him that's willing to step up. I always wanted to have my son involved in it, but Justin follows the Lord, and he's the youth pastor and minister of associate pastor of Thornby First Baptist Church.
Yeah, you've got a wonderful family. We need to go ahead and mention your family and little family history back behind the Catons. I know I knew your father-in-law, Mr. Satterwhite. I guess was the first one of your family that I recall that I knew, and that's Jan's dad. Mm-hmm. He was a public servant just like you have been. I met him. Before I became a member of the rescue squad, and I've been in the rescue squad now going on 50 years, so it's been a while since I met Mr. Curtis, and he was a volunteer in the rescue squad, and he worked at the college in Montevallo at that time, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Mr. Satterwhite was a mentor. I mean, I loved being around him. I loved talking to him, I mean, because he had so much knowledge. He was a county commissioner for 8 years, and he's a member of several different boards, and the rescue squad was one of his passions. He really loved being a part of that rescue squad. He was a police officer at the University of Montevallo, and he started out in the maintenance department as a plumber, and then moved on as a part of the police department.
Yeah, I remember I was just a kid then, but he treated me just like I was somebody, and that's what sets a lot of people apart in my mind, is past some of the older. They were older people to me, and you talked about a mentor, so I'd have to say that he was of the mentoring spirit, because the younger members of the rescue squad, in fact, I wasn't even a member when I first met him. Dad was active in it, and as a kid, I was hanging around there aggravating folks, but he would spend time, you know, talking to me and the other youth around us like we were part of the team, and made us feel special. So that was a good thing about him, and you know, a good man.
Well, he was a county sheriff reserve, and he got me involved in the sheriff reserve, and he and I would go out and we'd go to Maplerville and we'd work the racetracks together. We'd work all the ball games together. And it was something I really enjoyed. I was very fortunate as a sheriff reserve. I served under five different sheriffs in this county, and I really enjoyed that part of my life too.
You brought something up there I hadn't thought about in years, and that's those motorcycle races there at the old school in Maplesville.
Yes, sir.
Old dirt track racing. They would have a crowd of folks from all over the state come in to that. I remember those days. Of course, Dad was the Pepsi man, and I'd have to go help him with the concessions over there. So I worked several of those races myself back in the day in the concession stand side of it. Well, tell us a little bit about the rest of your family, where Allen came from.
Well, my mother and daddy, my mother was a Mary Christine Robinson before she become a Caton. And if you notice, it's Mary Christine. She was born December 25th, and which is Christmas Day. And so that's what they named her, Mary Christine.
So she almost became named after one of my best friends, Charles Merry Christmas, last name Christmas.
Know Mr. Christmas very well. And then my daddy was
Merry Christine.
My daddy was William Caton, and daddy was one of the hardest working people I've ever known. I feel like that between him and mama, that's where I get my work habits from. They both worked all their life, and really, really good people. My mama's still alive. Mama's 86 years old now, and still going strong. She was over this past weekend. We had a birthday party for me, and she came over and drove her own car over there and drove it right back. And she takes her, you know, still at her age, she still drives herself to the doctor's office.
Well, that's great. It's great that you were blessed, as I was blessed, to have parents that instilled work ethic in you, mm-hmm. and taught you how to work, and also instill that public service seed there to grow, because I know that down through the years you've also been a pretty good public servant. You've served on several active boards, and actually you served as our county commission. How many terms did you serve as commission?
I served four terms.
Four terms as county commission.
I started out in Jemison. Actually, started out on the fire department in Jemison. I had some friends that was on the department. Mr. Warner Burnett was our chief at that time. Mr. Warner used to build houses in Jemison, and he talked me into joining the department, not knowing that he and I was probably the only two on it. and so we built that department. I served as the fire chief for several years, and I served as the rescue chief for several years. And then after that, I served 4 years on the city council. And my wife and I bought a place out in Middle Springs, and we moved out there and moved out of Jemison.
So that ended the city council, huh? Right. But then followed with county commission. So, a good public servant, something that we're lacking in this world today, because so many of the younger people have no clue that, you know, they need to give back to the community. And part of the way of doing that is in political office and other boards and committees that people have to serve on for things to be done. Everybody likes to complain, but nobody wants to step up and do the jobs that need to be done in order for things to happen. I know you served on several boards. I'm going to let you go ahead and kind of call off. I know you served on the YMCA board for a while.
Well, before I do that, I got to tell a little story.
Okay.
My first 2 years on the county commission, I was appointed. And I was appointed by Governor Riley. And I can remember it as if it was yesterday. I was riding down 85. I had one of my foremen in the truck with me. And right in front of Jackson Hospital, I get a call. And a lady asked me, she said, "Can you hold for Governor Riley?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And Lamar that was with me just, I mean, he like fell out of the floor. He said, you fix and talk to the governor. I said, that's what they said. And so Governor Riley got on the phone and he told me, he said, I understand you're interested in serving the last 2 years of this term. And I said, yes, sir, I'd be honored to do it. And he said, well, I'm gonna point you to it, and you go ahead and get with the clerk and get sworn in and go to work. And I said, yes, sir, I thank you.
So that's how the county commission started.
That's how it started.
And then after those 2 years, you ran for the office.
Yes, sir.
And were elected, reelected. Well, I guess you were elected. You couldn't be reelected because you were appointed. So that was your first election into it.
Yes, sir.
And then one more term after that.
Two more terms after that. Yep.
And so you've been a part of a lot of things that have happened in Chilton County.
Well, I was of those years that I was on the county commission, I served seven times as the chairman of the commission. My fellow commissioners felt good about letting me lead it, and so they elected me chairman seven times, and six times were those consecutive. Mm-hmm. My understanding is I was the longest serving chairman on the county commission.
That's awesome. That's just awesome.
But I served with some good commissioners. I mean, there's there's some great commissioners out there that I got to serve with, and I was honored. I mean, I know that when I first went on, Mr. Heedy Hayes took me under his wing, and he showed me the ropes, and he showed me how to do things and carried me in different directions. And, you know, Joe Hadley become one of my best friends on the commission. And we lost Tim Mims while I was there, and Tim and I got extremely close. Tim, something about Tim was that he told me one night right after a meeting that he was going to the doctor. He was having some issues, and he was going to the doctor, and he was really concerned. And so standing on the front steps of the courthouse, Tim and I prayed, and we prayed over his examination and hoping everything would come well, but it didn't. And and not long after that we lost Tim, and Tim was a great commissioner too, but I've served some good ones. Joseph Parnell was a good commissioner, Jimmy Hardy's been a good commissioner, and I just enjoyed working with him.
Well, three and a half terms,
yes sir,
three and a half terms, you've carried some pretty good cussings from folks over that time, I imagine.
I can sit here and honestly say that as far as really being chewed out, I can only remember one, because of all the things that I enjoyed doing, I thoroughly loved being a county commissioner. Yeah. I mean, that was the most enjoyable things that I ever did. I mean, because I served, for the people, and I love the people.
And no matter what you do, you can't satisfy everybody.
No, you can't. No.
But you have to do what the majority wants. And I think through the terms I remember you being there, I think the some work was done. I know the last term that you served, you stepped up to the plate and did something that was a lot of folks would say was political suicide, and backing a tax.
Yes, sir.
And everybody hates to pay taxes, and me included. And I'm sure you do too. You don't enjoy paying taxes, but... Well, we've got to realize that if we're going to have what we're going to have in our county and enjoy what we want to enjoy in our county, it has to be paid for. And the tax that was passed was something that had to be done, because there hadn't been any tax passed in a lot of years prior to that. And the cost of just maintaining the county, of course, a lot of folks, when you think about county commission, first thing that jumps to mind is they used to be called road commissioners, and everybody wants their road paved, and they don't want potholes in their road, what people don't realize that when you go a long stretch without any tax revenue increase, those dump trucks and motor graders and the labor for those county workers and their health insurance, that doesn't stay parked like that tax does. It keeps increasing just like all that stuff increases on us. And the county kind of got backed into a corner in the last few years back that just didn't have any money to be able to do anything. You and your fellow commissioner stepped up and put that tax there. And I know y'all caught a lot of flack over that, but I'll publicly, right here on the radio, pat you on the back and tell you you gutsy enough to do what had to be done and did the right thing.
Well, before I left office, we had paved over 80 miles of roads, and all of it was coming off that tax money.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're paving, when paving roads cost $150,000 to $175,000 a mile, then you're doing, I mean, you've done a lot.
And that, like I say, that tax was well needed because, you know, the county's equipment was getting old and patching patches, and same thing for roads. You were patching patches of patches.
Well, that money was divided up into three. It went to roads and bridges. It went to public safety, and it also went to economic development. And we were able to, you know, help the sheriff, you know, hire some more deputies for the county, and be able to try to get their salaries up closer to some of the counties around. We still hadn't got there yet, but hopefully we're getting close.
Which is another problem, because somebody goes to work with the sheriff's department, they get the training, the county invests in the training, and then you got neighboring counties and police departments that are all recruiting them. They can pay them more money. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't be on par with what's going on around you, it's tough. And there again, just as the county has grown in size and got more roads to pave and more people to maintain, you got more people to police, and you can't operate with a sheriff's department that's operating from numbers 20 years ago at present time.
Well, John Sheridan and Gerald Mims do an excellent job. Nobody's ever happy with their budget, but they would always take their budget and they would make it work. I mean, the sheriff's department and the road department under Tony Ware was, to me, was two of the best departments as far as stretching their budget and making it work.
And you mentioned the name there, Tony Ware. Tony just retired. Congratulations to him. He's were to be tuned in. And to my knowledge, Tony was one of the best engineers we ever had in the county, far as I know from, you know, us airing some of the county commission meetings and stuff. You could tell he was on top of his budget, managed his budget, and I know quite a few of his employees, and they were all tickled to death to go to work because he treated them fair. They knew what he expected and knew he expected them to do their job, and I think he did a wonderful job managing the road department. And that's a tough thing to do because everybody thinks their road should be the top priority and their ditch should be first to be cleaned out and their pothole should be the first to be patched. And there has to be some serious organizing skills there, and I think he had those.
Well, the new engineer's got some big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
Tony, while I was chairman, Tony came to me with a plan of how we could have new trucks, new motor graders, and new pickups every year. And what we would do, we would buy our trucks around this time of the year, and we would get them in March of next year. And at the same time, we'd take our old trucks and we would sell them. You're able to buy your new trucks at the state bid, which you could buy quite a bit lower than what they are at the market. And then we turn around, and after we drove them for a year, you know, maintenance free, no work on those whatsoever. And then we would sell them, and we actually was making money off our trucks and turn around and buying new trucks
and keeping first class equipment.
Absolutely, and doing the motor graders the same way. Now I understand there's some talk that the new engineer is talking about doing away with that program, so it may be time to do away with it. But I know we made over $700,000 off that program while Tony was here.
Well, they have to watch the market, you know, because the market changes on what you can get from the state bid and what
right.
the resale market is. But that was wonderful that y'all were able to do that at that time for that period of time, and basically wound up with a good fleet of equipment for the county workers to work with.
Brand new trucks. They get to drive brand new trucks every year.
And don't spend a bunch of money working on junk.
Well, we budgeted between $60,000 and $100,000 a year for repairs and maintenance. After this program, we didn't have a repairs and maintenance budget.
So saved a ton of money. A couple of other boards you've served on. We'll mention YMCA, which is an important part of our county program. You served on it for a little while.
Yes, sir. Served on the 911 board. Served on IDA board. I serve on the waste board, and I'm still on the waste board. That's about the only board now that's on the county that I'm still a part of. But there was, in all of them, I enjoyed. I was an executive member of the state Republican Party. Served on that board for 8 years, and I'm still a member of our county Republican Party. I was actually served as chairman of the Republican Party for one term, and I really enjoyed that. We've got some great people here in Chilton County.
All right. Future. You see politics back in your future, or?
You know, I won't ever say never, but you know, right now I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm enjoying. I actually have three businesses. My wife is Jen Caton. I don't think I ever mentioned that, but Jen and I have been married 47 years, and beautiful, beautiful lady. She was Miss Everything at Jemison High School, and I'm very lucky, as people say, I outkicked my coverage.
She had a blind spell and a memory spell for a moment.
Absolutely,
and
absolutely.
Stuck with you.
But Jen, she was a Peach Queen contestant. I think she was first alternate in Peach Queen, and I can't remember the year, but she enjoyed doing that. But probably one of the best mothers you'll ever see. She loved her children. We had two children, Justin and Cindy. We have three grandchildren with them, Noah, Bella, and Olivia. And then with Justin, we have a 6-year-old who is, and his name is, it's Cooper, and at Cooper's something else. And my daughter-in-law is Bridget Caton, who is a science teacher at Thorsby.
Well, you've got your hands full with this grand youngins.
Oh, absolutely.
I've only got one, and you've got how many?
I've got four.
Four. So so you get to spend four times the money I do.
well, we're building Justin and Bridget a new house. We actually give them some land on the backside of our pasture, and they're building a new house. And they've been living with us for about a year now. And
you're gonna miss that little one when they move out.
It's gonna be hard.
It's gonna be tough. That's gonna be about like when them young ones moved out.
Well, Bridget,
you
and Justin,
got the empty nest all over.
Bridget and Justin went on vacation a few weeks ago, and Cooper wanted to know why Papa and Mimi wasn't going. And Bridget said, "Well, they're gonna stay home." Said, "Well, we need to go. They're our family."
Yeah.
And so they want he's been around us so much that he feels like we're the immediate family for them.
Nothing like grandkids. I'll tell you. I believe I have told my granddaughter probably the words "I love you" more than I've told all the rest of the folks in my life put together. And I mean every time I tell her that. She is just something else, and that's and I love my kids. Don't get me wrong. Now, I love my kids to death, and I have two wonderful kids, just like you. Your kids are good, successful, involved in the community, and we're blessed.
We are blessed.
We are blessed.
Well, that's something I didn't mention that, but you're talking about boards. I'm also a deacon at our church in Jemison. Jen and I have been going to Jemison First Baptist for close to 40 years. And I was born and raised up in Pates Chapel. That's where my mom and daddy went to school. Mm-hmm. And when Pates Chapel was a school. But Jen and I, our daughter started going to Jemison, so we wanted to kind of keep the family together. And so we started going with Cindy to Jemison, and we've been there ever since.
Well, Alan, I appreciate you spending time with us this morning on Peach Talk, and this is our town. It's definitely part of our town. Your business is located right there on, you're on 2nd Avenue
Second
South.
Second Avenue South.
In what used to be the Speaks House. There's the Speaks home was turned into your office now.
That is Miss Sally's house.
Yep,
Miss Sally. That's how That's how we refer to that house. Anytime somebody asks, well, where's your office at? And I said, well, we're in Miss Sally's house. Miss Sally was, I didn't personally know Miss Sally. Now, Chris and I are good friends, but I have heard so many wonderful things about her.
I did have the privilege of knowing her, and of course, my mom knew her well and spoke real high of her, of course, and my grandmother was good friends with that family. Of course, they were in the courthouse together for many years there. Some wonderful folks.
Well, I operate two other businesses out of that same location. We own Caton Properties Management Company and Caton Rental Properties. Caton Properties Management Company is mostly commercial rental property, and then Caton Rental Property is residential.
Residential. Mm-hmm. That's the fun one, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we have used up our time, Alan. I appreciate you again so much for spending time with us. We appreciate you for what you've done in our community, for your service as a public servant. We commend you for that. I know you're slowing down some and spending time with those grandkids and may not have the political realm back in sights, but I know you're not going to quit being a public servant. You'll probably wind up back on some more of those all-important boards at some point in time, and we know you always do a good job at whatever you do, because you don't take it on unless you're going to do a good job at it, and that's part of the character of you that I know and respect. And once again, we appreciate you taking your time out to spend a few minutes with us here on WKLF. And we appreciate our listeners for spending your time with us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. And then we rerun it on Sundays at 5 p.m. And you can always go to peachtalk.live after the program and go back and listen to any of the episodes of Peach Talk on the internet, right at peachtalk.live. Just go select program and you can listen to it in its entirety. Thank you again, Alan, and thank you for joining us. This is Peach Talk. This is our town.